This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk in San Francisco, and I'm here with Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappala with a message from the U.S. Coast Guard about ocean safety.
The Coast Guard is just one piece of a greater effort, valued partnerships, and I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize the hardworking folks that the Coast Guard works with every day at the city, county, state levels in California, and of course, our federal partners. And I understand that during these difficult times with regards to COVID, a lot of folks are maintaining their mental wellness through exercise. And the majesty and the power of the ocean are oftentimes inviting places to go and see and be socially distant. Unfortunately, with these larger waves we're experiencing along the California coast, it can also be very easy to become complacent and not pay attention to what are commonly known as sneaker waves, or waves of higher magnitude that are infrequent and unexpected at a coastal area. All of us who have enjoyed time near our beautiful area beaches and seashore will see posted signs placed by local officials and when the weather is expected to be adverse. And I would ask your listeners to heed those warnings and take them very seriously. Anytime folks go out in the ocean, we encourage folks to always wear a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. The ones that are orange with retroreflective tape make it a lot easier for folks who are doing the rescuing to locate those people in distress. Unfortunately, we have also had some tragic search and rescue cases occur along the California coast. Most notably were the two search and rescue cases that occurred on the 10th of January at Pescadero Beach State Park and at Point Bonita, and a third that occurred on January 3rd at Blind Beach north of Bodega Bay. In total, five lives were lost in these cases, very tragic. And in all of those cases, those aforementioned sneaker waves overwhelmed the folks on the beach and took them out to sea. And as we all know, anyone who's dipped a toe in the ocean here, it's very cold. It's only about 53 degrees the water temperature, so it's very easy to go into cold water shock and end up drowning, especially in such a turbulent environment. The ocean this time of year almost looks like a washing machine, and although it's very beautiful to view, it's also very dangerous. I want to really convey to your listeners that although the ocean is beautiful on any day when the seas are high, folks should respect how mighty the ocean truly is. Never turn their back on the ocean when enjoying the beach or seashore on foot. If you're going out on the water, either on a surfboard, a sailboat, or powerboat, dress for that cold water environment and wear a life jacket at all times. I always recommend a Type 1, as they're designed to turn most people, even if they're unconscious, face up in the water. Finally, the Coast Guard is always hiring young men and women, and I can think of few organizations with such a rich tapestry of storied histories. 230 years of service to our nation. And we in the Coast Guard truly live the service motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. I joined in 1996 and planned on only doing 4 years, and now in the blink of an eye, it's been 25.
All right, thank you so much. And that music there from Crisscross Applesauce can only mean one thing. It means it's 10:40. Sorry, 9:40. Well, it is 10:40 if you're in the mountain time zone. 9:40 Pacific on a Tuesday. Karen Lyle from SailSportsTalk.com is with us. And we're also very happy to be joined by someone who is no stranger to this program as well. And that is Marie Rogers, co-founder of the Offshore Racing Outreach nonprofit. First of all, Karen, how are we doing today, kid?
I'm doing just fantastic. You know, it's actually a beautiful day, which is really nice. I can actually see the water from right where I'm standing.
Are you in a bathtub? All right. Sorry, I always got to be sassy. Marie Rogers, it's great to have you on again. I know we're getting ready for the San Pedro to Honolulu Transpac, but this is coming up in 2023. What is it when you have an event so far away, but still there's like, you know, furious planning for such a thing?
Hey, Rick. It's nice to talk with you again. Well, it's a big deal. I mean, you're moving people and a vessel from one, you know, from the continent over to an island and just, you know, under 2,000 miles of water, and you want to do it safely, so there's a lot of planning. We put this organization together to do just that. And It takes a ton of planning under normal circumstances, but this is something brand new.
Well, Marie, I remember, I think the first time that I talked to you around a transpat race, we were actually, I was in the British Virgin Islands, and you were on the race coming into Hawaii, and you were texting me what was happening just as you were about to come in and place in that race. And now you are the president of a team that's being put together and underwritten by three private funders. And I don't know, what is it, $500,000 to put this whole thing together? But you have a special mission. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So any of the, Rick will remember, you'll remember, any listeners to the show that I've been really involved with helping diversify the, provide diversity in the sport of sailing. So typically when people think of sailing, especially offshore, the teams all kind of look alike. There's not a lot of ethnic diversity, and that's mainly because in our country, we haven't always allowed everyone to have access to water and to the seashore, and to boating facilities, and having the economic possibilities of actually, you know, building that kind of wealth to be able to afford yachting. So there are a lot of boats out there that are not being used, they're underutilized, and I put a community sailing program together with some used boats at Los Angeles Yacht Club. We talked about that, got a lot of new people on the water. And that whole idea has been making traction across the country, really. But it's really hard to get it going. There's a lot of resistance. There's just a lot of newness to the whole concept. I was approached by somebody who doesn't really want to be identified, who wants to fund this. He has participated in a couple transats on his own boat. He went over for the, you know, the races every odd year, so we had one July of this year. And he just went as a spectator to watch the boats come in Honolulu, and it just sort of hit him that all the crews were, in his eyes, were all white and all male. Which is kind of normal, right? Like the year I did the race, which is in 2019, was the previous one, and I kind of looked around, like all the crews, all the parties afterwards. I didn't see anybody looking like me, like a very few females, first of all, and anybody of color. It's just, it's very odd to have that combination. So I was looking for other unicorns, I call myself. I didn't see any. So this gentleman thought, well, he wanted to change things, and he's at a time in his life, and he's a giver, and he thought this would be a great cause. And he offered this to me. He says, Marie, you know a lot of people. You love this race. You love being offshore. Why don't we put this together? So basically there are three staff commodores at Los Angeles Yacht Club who formed a nonprofit basically to get people on the water to do offshore racing for the first time who've never had the opportunity for one reason or another. They've not traditionally been represented in the sailing race. So we just want to change it up so other people can see, like, wow, I can do this. And like, oh, my God, Black people can sail. You know, brown people can sail. Or, yeah, non-traditional, something other than our lovely white males, which is my friend, you know, I'm married to one. But it'd be nice if we had more diversity on this. And so that's what we're doing.
When you're in a place like, you know, San Pedro, how do you not go to Catalina every day? I mean, I did it one time, and it's just so cool to, because you get to the point where you lose sight of the mainland, but yet you're not going all the way to Hawaii. You know, you're just going to the Channel Islands. I mean, how often do you head out that way?
Oh, Catalina is fabulous. It's one of my favorite places to go, and I've been to a lot of places on this planet. And it's really convenient. It's really close by. It's still from San Pedro. It's a 20-mile trek over, and depending on the length of your boat, if it's, you know, a race boat or not, it's going to take, you know, 2 to 3, 4 hours, and then the ride home is a little faster. I, you know, before the pandemic, before I was doing all this work with getting people together on boats, we were there like every other weekend, really. I'm so busy now, it's really hard to get over. With the pandemic, it was hard. just because I enjoyed not working and just sort of staying at home. And I wasn't, you know, Bill and I, my husband, we raced during the pandemic, just the two of us double-handed races, and that was really thrilling. But we didn't do a lot of island stuff, basically because we didn't want to mix with a lot of people at the island. And the island kind of shut down. Like, the Catalina Island Company didn't want people coming ashore during the pandemic. And this year, with this new opportunity, and we've been looking at boats. We're actually, I'm in Berkeley right now looking at a boat we have hauled out, hoping it could be the vessel for this next transect and for this this nonprofit. I've been too busy to go, Rick. Haven't gone in a year and a half. The first time in my life in like 20-something years that I haven't gone in a year.
It has been quite a year, that's for sure. And we've had lots of conversations. You know, talking about this subject of outreach and giving opportunities to underrepresented groups, which is actually women, not only people of color, but women and disabled as well. One of the things that we had talked about was how important it is to start new things, so that new things are able to, you know, create equity at the very ground level. How are you doing that with your nonprofit?
This is something that I'm trying to promote with all the different sailing organizations that I'm involved with, and there are a lot, is that some of the older institutions are having a really hard time changing up the way they do things. And so what I believe the focus now should just be looking at the future, and then from the ground up, starting new organizations, new clubs, new sailing schools, whatnot, and bringing people in from the ground up, you know, as an actual stakeholder. Like, if you want a certain community represented amongst your population of your students or your doctrine, or, you know, whatever level you're doing this to get people on the water, as you know, all different levels you can be on the water. You want to have those people in from the very beginning, helping you make your decision. Because it's very awkward for an institution that's been around for 100, 150 years, in some cases 200 years, has not admitted women. It's not admitted people of color. You know, you name it. You know, it's the history of this sport. And all of a sudden, you want the membership to kind of change and open up in a different way. And people want to do it. Some people don't. The ones who want to do it are still having a really hard time. They're in an awful position. They come to me and say, well, Marie, how do I provide a more diverse membership? I used to say, well, just invite your black and brown friends. And then I get that deer in headlights kind of look, like, you know what you're saying. You don't really have friends that look like that. So I just say, well, just, you know, there are ways of going out into the community and bringing in groups, like professional organizations. Like, it could be a Mexican-American dentist of Alameda County, or, you know, Black Lawyers Association of San Francisco. Or, you know, you reach into the community, or going to, like, fraternities and sororities that are from HBCUs and historically, you know, Black colleges and universities. And every level, but, you know, I'm sure Filipino fellowships of, you know, one thing or another. It could be religious, it can be a professional group. You reach out and say, have you ever thought about including, you know, bringing your congregation to the water, or bringing your fraternity, you know, people to a sailing event, or doing a corporate team building kind of situation, you know, with your company on these boats. So yacht clubs have not been in the business of doing outreach, but now that the world has changed a lot, and not everybody can afford boats, so a lot of yacht clubs are really struggling to get members, and they're having a hard time reaching out. And so that's where we are right now. They want to do it. They're having a hard time doing it. I'm helping them and doing a lot of the work for them, and I love doing it. So that's where I am right now.
And before we let you go, for people who are listening online, would like to help or get involved, how do they do that?
That's a really good question. Really soon, as we get this boat purchased, And but keep looking out for the name of the organization. It's ORO, Offshore Racing Outreach. We'll soon have a website up. And maybe I can, Karen and I can, with you, Rick, get that blasted out to everybody. But right now we're still in the planning stages. When is it?
Right, we're in the very early stages here, where you're setting everything up. But when you get into the race, Marie, people can follow this boat in the race. And there will be website and information available. So this is kind of like the sneak preview of the behind-the-scenes, you know, setup where you're, I haven't even got the boat yet, and you're getting into that, right?
Right, right, right.
All right. Absolutely. Well, that's our guest. We run out of time. Marie Rogers, once again, Offshore Racing Outreach and building equity into these institutions and getting more diversity for people who have not been traditionally represented in offshore racing, et cetera. Marie, once again, thanks for coming on and congratulations on your important work.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks, Karen.
And Karen, thanks for coming by. As always, have fun out on the bay, y'all.
We'll get you out there sometime.